and learning something new. Fantastic. That's what it's all about. And today, we want to talk about NLP, Neuro-Linguistic Programming. Now, you've probably heard of it, but what is it? You know, Tiger Woods, the golfer, he's said to be a big fan of NLP. It's been around since, I don't know, the 70s, I think. But what is it and how does it work and is it any good for us? Well, Alan Whitten is a hypnotherapist. He's also an NLP coach from Woodford Green. Morning, Alan.
Good morning.
It has been around for the 70s, hasn't it?
Yeah, it was the 70s. I think the initial texts were written, I think, sort of 75. But yeah, beginning early 70s, really.
But what is it?
Okay, so let's look at NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming, as you've said. So neuro, that's standing for neurology, about how we run our brains. Linguistic is the way that the brain is affected by language and also the way language affects the brain. And programming, well, what we're really talking about here is our values, our beliefs, our behaviors, and our emotional states, how we can adopt new ones, how we can modify existing ones, and how we can scramble old unhelpful ones.
E.g.,
if you've got something, let's say that you've, for some reason, you tell yourself a story. You say something to yourself which makes you feel bad. So what we're going to do, we're going to use our sensory systems and we're going to say, okay, right, well, what happens if I say that in a Mickey Mouse voice? Do I still feel bad as a result of it? What about if I say it quicker, louder, within our heads? And quite often that's going to depotentiate things and give us a much better experience.
You used a funny word then. You said depotentiate.
I'm sorry.
And I haven't got a clue what you're talking about.
Make it a lot less powerful.
Oh, okay, so, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, isn't this just the power of positive thought, wouldn't people say?
Well, you know, it does involve positive thinking, that's for sure. But there's a lot of, basically, how it came about is in the 70s, a lot of outstanding therapists and then businessmen and sportsmen were actually modelled, so that the founders of NLP spent time with these people to see how they got, what was the difference that made a difference, that how did they get these outstanding results that other people couldn't get? And what they did was they effectively unraveled the code of that, and from that we've got what is a lot of the NLP techniques and tools, which when they're reused with other people get fantastic results as well.
But aren't most people who do incredibly well in life cocky, self-confident, focused and stubborn? Aren't they the sort of necessary traits? Because you've got to have absolute faith in yourself, you've got to be completely focused and not be sidetracked, and you've got to think about the one thing that you're working at. And when things do go wrong, you've just got to keep battling on. I mean, surely that's the secret of success, isn't it?
Well, I guess a lot of that is true. I personally don't believe that that always has to be the case. For instance, you know, I mean, I don't have any, you know, I can't sort of give you any counters to that, but there are people that I know who are very successful and they're great people as well. You know, so I think it's very easy, and that's one of the things that NLP is useful for. It's for challenging, you know, dogma, like, oh, you have to be hard, you have to be nasty. Well, who says? Okay, experience says that this person may have been, that person may have been. Mm. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be as well. So in the same way that the guys did the modelling, what they did was they copied all the behaviours of these outstanding people, and then slowly they stopped doing little micro components. And for instance, one of the guys used to chain smoke. So the person who was trying to copy these results, he would chain smoke. He would speak in an Austrian accent.
Right.
Honestly. Yeah. And then, okay, once he found out that he could recreate the results, now I'm going to stop wearing the foul knitwear jumpers. Now I'm going to stop chain smoking. I'm going to drop the Austrian accent. Can I still get these results? Yes. Fantastic. So it's taking success into its core components and finding out what exactly the core components of that success are.
It's looking at it in a more practical way, because that sounds all very, you know, nebulous and ethereal and all that sort of thing, and fine, but, you know, nuts and bolts stuff. Is it the way you talk, the way you look, the way you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it works. We're working from the premise that we experience reality, you know, and I'm not going to go into a matrix thing here, but
please don't.
We experience reality through our senses. That's the only, like, apparatus, if you like, that we've got to experience the world. So it's using those. It's, yes, it is how we use our language. Yes, it is how we hold our bodies. For instance, if you, you know, if you were to hold your body like Errol Flynn with one hand on your
careful.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, with one hand on your side and, you know, hand up in the air, laughing. I bet you couldn't feel bad. You know, you might feel ridiculous, but you wouldn't be able to feel bad.
Yeah.
So it's looking at the mind and the body as one system, as opposed to sort of, oh, we treat the body, you know, and then we treat the mind separately. It's looking at it as an amalgamated thing.
And so what about, you know, when people say certain words, they look up and to the right, and when they say certain other words, they look down and to the left. And,
yeah.
You know, what's all that about?
Well, okay. So one of the things that was figured out by the NLP founders was these. They're called eye accessing cues. So what they found out was when people look up and to the left, they're recalling a visual memory. Now this is for most people who are right hookers, right-handers. So when they look up and to the right, as you look at them, then they're making a visual construction. They're making a picture, and the same goes for the if they look left directly left, they're remembering a sound. If they look directly right, then they're creating a sound. So these have just been discovered, and they're really useful. I mean, they're actually really useful to find out if you want to find out whether somebody's lying. It's quite a useful thing. You have to ascertain, because if you're left-handed, then quite often the system is flipped.
Mm.
So, they're really useful little tools to know.
But these are used. NLP is used all over the place now, isn't it? Which you know, it's used in business a lot. It's used in therapy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it has. Okay, first of all, it has excellent therapeutic applications, and as I said, a lot of the techniques were created by modelling these outstanding therapists. But it's also really useful in business, in sales and relationship building. NLP's got some fantastic rapport building techniques. So, the application in business is pretty massive.
Who can practice it? You know, are there any regulations?
Okay, this is the thing. Anyone can. You can read a book, and you can read a book about NLP, and you could start to do NLP. In UK law, anyone can set themselves up to say that they're a therapist, and there's no regulation. So this is something that you have to be very careful with if you are going to see an NLP practitioner or an NLP coach.
Mm.
You know, to check out, you know, have they got work that can be referenced? How long have they been practicing? And, you know, are they actually insured to, you know, meet and speak and work with people?
Right. Okay, and how do you get trained? Because it is completely non-scientific, isn't it? There's no scientific evidence for it, is there?
I mean, there are some initial scientific studies that are going, but to be honest with you, I mean, if you sort of compare it to CBT, which has got a glut of scientific data behind it, it doesn't have that. There are initial surveys and research being done, but they're really pretty much in their infancy stage. But, how do you get trained? Well, there are various ways, lots of different trainings you can get for NLP, you know, varying from a 7-day practitioner course to something which I did, which was, like, more intensive, and it lasted weeks, stretching over several months. But what I would say is that many people who actually train in NLP are doing it as a form of personal development, you know, like your Anthony Robbins sort of courses, and they don't actually intend on seeing clients. So that's something that's worth bearing in mind as well.
They use it for their own lives.
Absolutely. Right. I mean, lots of the stuff is applicable. You can self-apply. So it's really useful. It's excellent for bringing clarity of thought and, you know, those old nagging thoughts that you used to have. You know, you just wipe them out. It's fantastic for that.
All right, Alan, thank you. Alan Whitton there, hypnotherapist, NLP coach, Woodford Green. Have you used it? Have you been on a course? Did it help you?